Hello and welcome to Josh Peck Disclosure. Yet again, we are back with Stephen Bancar. Today, I really want to focus on, maybe you haven't heard of this guy. You know, who is he? Why is he in my basement? We dealt a little bit with that yesterday, but I really want to get into his testimony, what he's been through. Steve, it is great to be back with you again today.
It's great to be in your basement.
It's great to be in my basement. Everybody says that. Everybody, even people that have not been in my basement, say that, which is weird, but I accept the compliment. So for those out there who have never heard of you, and I did give the link in the last video for his testimony, but in case they haven't had a chance to watch that, or maybe this is the first video that they're seeing. Who are you? What kind of person were you before? What were you involved in before? And how has that changed now to what you do today?
Right. Well, in a nutshell, in the last episode, we were just introducing our book, The Second Coming of the New Age, where we talk about the dangers of the New Age movement, but also of the fallacies of the New Age movement. You know, addressing some of the errors in reasoning and false claims it makes and how to address these things. Using the Bible, using reason, using scientific evidence, and so forth. So what got me into that sector of research was the fact that I not only practiced it, but I taught it for a living. And that started off back in – I started teaching it back in 2012.
Okay.
So that was kind of the apex.
That was like right after that Mayan thing that was supposed to like kill everybody.
Yeah, everything in the New Age movement, it still is booming.
Yeah.
That's when it started really gaining traction.
Right.
You know, maybe in 2005, it wasn't as big as it was, you know, 7 years later in 2012.
Oh, man, it was huge, yeah.
Right, that's where it kind of really put on the map, because there was so much hysteria about, you know, the Mayan calendar coming to an end.
Yeah.
And it was the New Age teachers who were pushing this hysteria. And so, consequentially, a lot of people were digesting, you know, New Age prophecies.
Yeah.
These prophetic, you know, interpretations from a New Age lens about the Mayan calendar. So anyway, I was born and raised in a Christian household and, you know, homeschooled under a Christian curriculum, went to Christian private school and spent my life going to church. I actually went to a Messianic synagogue for over a year where every week.
You were a Hebrew roots guy?
Not Hebrew roots. No.
So what's the difference between like Hebrew roots and what you were brought up in?
Right. So Messianic Judaism is what I was brought up in.
Okay.
And they affirm the Messiah. Not all Hebrew roots do.
Okay.
Some sectors of Hebrew roots will.
Mm-hmm.
They will affirm, you know, that Christians can call Jesus by his name. Jesus. Some Hebrew roots will say you have to use his Hebrew name.
The sacred namers, yeah.
Right, the sacred namers. Messianic Jews will, you know, not care really about the race of the people who are in their synagogue, whereas Hebrew roots movement will say, you know, the black people are the real Jews.
Oh, wow,
and there
yeah.
is no white man who's a Jewish man.
Huh.
So your wife, for example, well, she's not a man.
Right. No.
She wouldn't be able to be considered a Jew.
Right. Right. For those who aren't familiar, Christina, she was brought up Messianic Jew. She's Jewish by heritage and, you know, genealogy and all that. So that's what Steve's talking about here.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically, I was raised in that for about a year and a half. Hey, Kitty. And
we have a couple of cats and they have fallen in love with Steve here. He's staying at the Peck household for a few days. So this is this Jasmine or Jasmine?
This is Jasmine.
Yeah. That's Jasmine. She's the female. Her brother is around here somewhere. But.
Yeah. So basically, things started, you know, I identified as Christian fundamentalist mentally. I consented to that.
Right.
Right. So in my mind, I assented to the general framework of the Christian worldview.
Yeah.
Had no passion for it, you know, not born again.
Yeah.
No relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to him sometimes as a kid, but I didn't have a vibrant faith, a practicing faith personally.
Yes.
You know, maybe as a young child when I was like 10 or something.
Right.
But especially in my preteen and teen years, there's nothing. So when I was in high school, I encountered, you know, material that I thought was incompatible with biblical creationism. I mean, six-day biblical creationism. I had come across the ancient astronaut theory on the History Channel, Ancient Aliens.
Right.
And I was fascinated by the alleged evidence that seemed to indicate we were visited in the past by some kind of extraterrestrial intelligence who gave mankind culture so they could build all these, you know, ridiculous structures and move these megalithic stones that apparently there was no explanation for, absolutely none.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I thought, okay, there's a gap here between what we see in the ancient world and mainstream explanations of this stuff. It's deficient.
Yeah.
I thought the mainstream explanation was deficient, and that this theory of them being visited by aliens was a fine conclusion.
Right.
To sum up.
I remember thinking that too.
Right. It's fine. It makes sense. Okay.
Yep.
But if it makes sense, then what are the implications of that on the atonement or on 6-day creationism?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't reconcile the two at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that got me more interested in, okay, like kind of what else do these guys know? Like what else don't I know?
Right.
Right. What other information and research is out there that contradicts the biblical worldview I've been raised with?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started researching other types of spirituality. A lot of the guys on Ancient Aliens, they teach New Age spirituality.
Oh,
so
yeah, big time.
It wasn't that hard for me to find it.
Yep.
David Wilcock was probably definitely my biggest influence.
Yeah.
He speaks on Ancient Aliens frequently, or at least he used to.
Yeah.
And so
we'll probably talk about that more in the next video, so stay tuned.
Right. Yeah, there's some interesting developments with him right now.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, obsessed with his work, obsessed with the evidence, alleged evidence for, you know, reincarnation,
mm-hmm.
for, you know, NDE accounts,
mm-hmm.
For, you know, the existence of an astral body, for the pineal gland being some kind of spiritual eye.
Right.
For there being a relationship between consciousness and the material world, making me think maybe they're a part of the same substratum
mm-hmm.
at a foundational level. All this stuff was pointing towards a type of spirituality that I felt was incongruent with Christianity. And,
yeah.
And I felt if this is the truth, and if Jesus,
I guess Jasmine got sick of you,
right?
And she's visiting me now. But
right.
Yeah, yeah.
His words then need to be interpreted in the light of this truth.
Yeah.
And so I would try and fit this worldview, this philosophy, that, you know, man is intrinsically divine,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, the universe is God, you know, pantheism, that God is some kind of universal force present in the cosmos,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, reincarnation, that we come back over and over to learn lessons. I thought the evidence was fine to be able to establish this stuff. So I'm going to read this into the text.
Yep.
I'm going to assume that Jesus must have knew about this and was trying to speak about this in some way.
Yeah. He just couldn't get the right words. But I remember thinking that too when I was in the New Age.
Right.
Yeah.
So then I made a website. It was called spiritscienceandmetaphysics.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I presented my research to the public. And by the time I launched the website, I already had a really large social network on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because I had a Facebook page, a New Age Facebook page, for a few years up until the point of the website launch. And we had a network where we'd all share each other's content
mm-hmm.
on each other's Facebook pages. And so I was with pages, you know, like Collective Evolution and Higher Perspective.
Oh, it got, yeah, that got huge.
Oh, yeah. And The Mind Unleashed and, you know, Universe Explorers and Earth We Are One
mm-hmm.
and Spirit Science.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could go on and on about pages that, you know, were posting online and I was posting on theirs. And so when I first launched my website, you know, man, the views I might have gotten, you know, in the first month, maybe like 15 million website views.
Wow.
In the first month.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
I'm lucky if I get 1500.
Yeah. It was crazy.
That's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy. The ad revenue was insane with that
mm-hmm.
amount of views. And I figured this is God's way of rewarding me and validating
mm-hmm.
the teachings that I'm being blessed by the universe or God or whatever. I'm getting
right.
blessed. This is some kind of universal favor upon my teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So, I taught this stuff. I started writing for the spiritscience.net as well. And this went on for almost 2 years. And then I basically, in a nutshell, reached a point where I had to face my own depravity. Look at this cat, man.
I know. She's adorable.
Look at this. What is this?
That's, I don't know if the camera can see that, but can the camera see? Yeah, I'm jealous because, like, we got these cats not too long ago and they've fallen in love with me and Christina, but you've been here for 3 days and, like, you've stolen their hearts.
Yeah. So basically, I was teaching this stuff, making, you know.
So you were doing this for only 2 years?
writing was only about 2 years.
That's a huge, success peak that doesn't happen to anybody. I mean, you don't get that level of success in 2 years.
Well, I got that in a month.
Yeah.
You know,
that's phenomenal. Well, what's great about it is, I don't mean that's great that he was successful in this terrible thing, but what he's about to say.
Right. Yeah. So basically, you know, first month for what it's worth, you know, I don't know. There are some articles that were getting a quarter of a million views a day.
Wow.
Three quarters of a million a day.
Yeah.
You know, the first month made over $60,000 in ad revenue.
Mm. Wow.
And, you know, I'm 21 at the time.
Yeah.
So this to me was validation that I'm right.
Right.
Right. No Christian can debunk anything I'm throwing at them.
Right.
I'm making a killing. You know, there's synchronicities happening all over my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I pursued this until the point of realizing, A, I'm unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
B, I am morally depraved beyond human comprehension.
Right.
I'm just awful. I'm just a horrible human being.
Right.
Like, I'm broken. I'm sinful.
Mm-hmm.
I had to start confessing sins in my life to people that I was hurting.
What was that process like? Like, how do you go from thinking that everything's going right, you're making a ton of money, I mean, it's a sign from God that you're doing what, you know, in your own interpretation at the time, what he has called you to do, you know, you're doing everything right. So, so what was like the breaking point where it was like, maybe this isn't what I'm thinking it is. Maybe this is not a blessing from God. What was that transition like? Like, what happened?
Yeah, the transition was essentially me having to look at myself in the mirror.
Okay.
Where my conscience was being restored, I believe, by God.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to face the sin that I was suppressing. Ow! That hurts. Stop, man. What the heck? Anyway, I had to face...
She bite you?
Yeah. I had to face my own demons pretty much.
Right.
So... you know, and see them for what they are, see myself for who I am, and confess my sins to people around me that I was keeping them from.
Mm.
And
was that something that you were suppressing for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So that was something that was always kind of in the back, and then just eventually it kind of became in the forefront?
God brought it to the forefront.
That's awesome.
I would have taken it to my grave.
Right.
Except that now all of a sudden these secrets that were, you know, pinging around in the back of my head,
mm-hmm.
they were at the forefront of my consciousness. I couldn't hide from them anymore.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized, you know, when I saw the brokenness I had caused in people around me,
mm-hmm.
that I needed outside help.
Right.
I feel like this is not the way life's supposed to be lived.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's things about Jesus and God that I've been suppressing, that I haven't been taking seriously enough. And that's when I decided I'm going to be open to Jesus, whoever he is, as he is, instead of trying to fit him into this, you know, mold of religious pluralism,
mm-hmm.
or of pantheism,
right.
or of reincarnation or Eastern mysticism and this ascension model. No, I'm just going to tell him, I want you as you actually are.
Yeah.
And that's when I made the decision after seeing my own moral depravity. I didn't know at that point anything I had researched previously was wrong,
mm-hmm.
or in error.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that it was insufficient.
Okay.
There was an insufficiency issue. So something was missing. Maybe everything that I was researching, I was thinking could still be true, but mm-hmm. there's something else missing in that Jesus, it's over where Jesus is somehow.
Yeah.
Right? So
it's over in the general Jesus direction.
Right. Yeah. There's something that he has that I need.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people have that intuition, and the only difference between me and other New Agers who have that, which they pretty much all do,
mm-hmm.
is that I was forced into a position, lucky enough to be forced into a position where facing those suppressed intuitions about him,
mm-hmm.
was my only hope.
Right.
Right. And so I would encourage people to not wait until their life is in shambles,
mm-hmm.
before they finally give the Lord a chance.
Yeah, get a hold of it now.
And so
maybe Jasmine needs to get a hold of it now. She's taking out some aggression on you.
She's manifesting. She hears the name of Jesus and she's manifesting.
We'll have to take care of that.
Yeah. So basically, said a prayer of salvation with my mm-hmm. mother out of desperation. Didn't mean much by it other than, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus, I want more of you.
Right.
You are.
It was just whatever that means.
Yeah, it was just it was more of an invitation for him to reveal himself to me,
mm-hmm.
More.
Right.
I didn't want, I was still holding on to me. mm-hmm. when I said that prayer. And
yeah.
it wasn't until 2 weeks passed by when I reached a new level of brokenness by having to confess another round of sin that was just awful.
Oh, wow.
That's when I repented. And that's when I fell on my face before him, you know, weeping
mm-hmm.
out of being sorry, out of hopelessness, desperation. And he responded to me by revealing himself to me spiritually. And what I mean by that is his presence engulfing me
mm-hmm.
and filling the atmosphere and completely engulfing me. And absolutely undeniable, this is the Jesus of the New Testament. This is the Son of God. And in my head, I'm repeating over and over. I'm blown away. You know, Paul talks about those who he warns against those who look to prefer the simplicity that is in Christ.
Yes.
And the simplicity of it all. So I've been searching obsessively for a very long time. You know, I've been teaching this stuff obsessively, looking for answers. What is the truth? What is the truth? And in that moment, the only thing I could literally think in my head and say was like, Jesus is Lord.
Wow.
It's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is Lord. I'm repeating that in my head. Jesus is the Lord. He's Lord. He's the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Jesus of the New Testament. And the Bible says nobody says Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And so I encountered the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, in about a 5 minute span, and I got born again.
Mm-hmm.
I was completely born again. And I couldn't stand up.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to stand up and I couldn't. It was like the weight of his presence was crushing me
mm-hmm.
into like a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so broken mm-hmm. and into submission
mm-hmm.
by his presence. And what stuck out to me was not so much, I wasn't reaching out to him thinking, I was not even, you know, in my intention
mm-hmm.
to kind of use him for love
right.
in that moment. What I took away from that experience with him, of course he loved me, was not so much, hey, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't it.
Right.
It was, hey, this is me.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Like what I needed was a revelation of the correct worldview.
Yeah.
I needed more than just liquid love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord will lead us into encounters like that. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But what I wanted was answers.
Mm-hmm.
And so his revelation to me, my spirit man was being completely directed to his lordship over me and over creation. And that's what really stuck out to me was he's king and he's Lord. He's king mm-hmm. and he's Lord. He's the Son of God. And I was just completely rocked by that. And so that's when I quit my job the next day. I was like,
wow,
I'm done. I'm done writing New Age articles. I'm living for you.
And you were that making a ton of money. I mean, you had fame, fortune. You had a huge house. In your testimony video, you even showed pictures of it. I mean,
yeah, yeah. It was
pretty big house.
Yeah, it was over 4,000 square feet.
Wow.
And it meant nothing to me at that point because I had found the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is worth living for.
That's right.
You know, and if there's no finance at the end of serving Christ, at least I have the truth.
Yeah.
You know, at least I know the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
I know my identity. I know why I'm here. I know who God is. I know who Jesus is, and I'm saved. You know, the Bible says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Yes.
And I remember laying in my bed, feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit within me, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, and being completely astonished that I had never really been talked about by Christians or talked to about the inner witness of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did I miss it? How did
right.
anyone tell me that there was an inner witness of the Holy Spirit? Like, that is such an important ministry that God has made available to us.
Yeah, it is. And the Christian church by and large ignores that and how big of a deal that is. You don't see a lot of emphasis on that, you know, and it's not to say that like, okay, New Age is all bad and the Christian church is all perfect. There are issues with the Christian church too. We can do a lot better than what we're doing now. And that's a good example of it is the inner witness. I would wager a bet that most people who would hear the words inner witness of the Holy Spirit would not know what that means. And my audience is largely Christian.
Right. Well, it's sad when, Jesus tells them, it's going to be better for you that I depart. Here's the Lord Jesus
yeah.
Christ, you know, God in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
walking around. I mean, that's almost as good as it gets.
Yeah, you would think.
But apparently it gets better. He says it's going to be better for you if I depart, because when I leave, I'm going to send a helper.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the helper, he didn't just send to us, he sent inside of us.
Yes.
And so now I had access to this helper,
mm-hmm.
and he was leading me into all truth, like the Bible says he will.
Yeah.
And
it's better than if you, according to Jesus' own words, it's better than if you had Jesus bodily in the flesh in front of you and you could just ask him whatever you want. What we're supposed to have as Christians now is even better than that. It blows my mind.
Which is the indwelling spirit, the spirit of God living inside of us.
Yeah.
Leading us into truth, sanctifying us. You know, Bible says it brings life. It quickens our mortal bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Kitty.
She is like going crazy on your legs.
That's okay. And you know, he testifies of Jesus. He helps he helps lead us in our walk with the Lord. And so I was completely overwhelmed with, wow, the Holy Spirit's real.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is. He's inside me. There used to be nothing there. And now there's someone there. And
not an it, a someone, a he.
Someone.
Yeah.
A personal presence where there was once nothing.
Right, right.
And he was driving me to read the Word of God, bearing witness to me. You need to read the Bible. Everything mm-hmm. you need about God is in here. And mm-hmm. when I'm opening the Bible and I'm reading it, you know, the Spirit's bearing witness that this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's confirming to me by whatever he's – I don't know how he communicates to our spirit man, but this is real.
Yes.
This is the truth. This is – these are the words of Christ.
Yeah.
Any Christian knows that that's what the Holy Spirit does, is reveals and brings to life the Word of God
mm-hmm.
in our Christian experience. So when I had that inner witness confirming to me the truths about Scripture, I was, here it is. Here's the answers.
Yeah.
This is everything I've been looking for. This is what everyone I know is looking for, or so I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are just looking to find excuses to suppress the truth and unrighteousness over and over and over.
Oh, man. And you can see that clearly in the YouTube comments from your testimony video.
Oh, sure. Yeah, some people freaked out. So
you're this big time New Age, you know, writer guy. And I'm sure when I was in New Age, I probably read your stuff. I mean, I can't imagine that I wouldn't have, you know, I don't remember specifically, but I'm sure I have. So you're this big time. And then you turn Christian and you try to tell people about this amazing experience that you had and the truth about Jesus Christ and the inner witness of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And now what were most of the responses? Because when you look at those comments, I mean, they seem pretty dismal, but did some people track along with you? Like, did some people say, you know, you're right, you know, this New Age stuff isn't enough for me, I want Jesus?
You probably would have read some of my content. I'll answer that question, but you probably would have read some of my content because, you know.
Oh, I'm sure I have. I have no doubt about it. I was so fully entrenched in it.
Like, over the course of my site being up, it had over, I believe it was 120 million views.
Yeah.
And that doesn't include articles I wrote for other sites.
Yeah, I'm sure a few thousand of those were mine, at least.
At least one
few. At least one. It was probably a few thousand. I was pretty obsessed with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so basically the comments, they ranged from everything from people saying, I'm happy you the people who were saying go kill yourself, I didn't care about, just whatever.
Right, yeah, they're just trolls.
Yeah, one person, the favorite comment of mine, he says, you want to know a secret? God hates you.
And thanks.
I was like, that's hilarious.
I'm so glad I know this secret now that you put publicly for everybody to read.
Right.
What a secret.
God, here's a secret. God hates you.
Guess God shouldn't have told you that secret because you just told everybody online.
Yeah. And then he said, you know, God doesn't need another scrawny, droopy-eyed gay boy.
Scrawny, droopy-eyed gay boy. God doesn't need another. Does he have one?
He has one too many.
Yeah. He tried it once and decided enough is enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So he used a different word in the comments, which I don't want to use.
Well, I'm sure we can all infer what that is.
Okay. So that's my favorite. I can revisit that comment. It makes my heart feel so good.
To be told that, it feels so good. And I bet, you know, he probably thought he was really sticking it to you.
Oh, yeah. That comment's mine now.
Yes.
Massage my own emotional health with that one every day.
There is this.
Yeah.
Whenever things go wrong, and he's that the guy that wrote that never intended it to be that way, but at least when things go wrong, I have this hilarious comment.
Little did he know that would be one of the most edifying things anyone's ever said to me. Nothing has made me feel better about who I am in life.
Like, I am so glad I disassociated from people like you.
No, it's just, I don't know. So basically,
yeah,
there were those comments who were like, rid yourself off the face of the earth, you know, kill yourself, you know, F you, you know.
Yeah.
People bantering with me about, you know, being a hypocrite and all this stuff. Those weren't really the comments that bothered me. The comments that bothered me were people who were good intentioned, saying, hey, guys, you know, stop being like that. This is his path. He's found what he believes to be his truth.
Instead of the truth.
Right. And those are the people that I wanted to reach.
Right.
You know, I don't want
to reach. Because at least they're accepting, to some extent, they're accepting to what you have to say.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So they are at least sympathetic,
right,
to the fact that I've had a conversion experience and I'm going to serve the Lord with my life.
Yeah.
They can rationalize that some way. Now, what I would want to do then is go in and dissect, you know, their epistemology.
Sure.
Their theory of truth.
Yeah.
And I'd want to go expose the false beliefs to them about, you know, well, why don't you really believe in Jesus? Oh, well, because I think he's an ascended master. Okay, let's address that then.
Yeah.
And that's why I started making YouTube videos. It was for the people in the New Age movement who were like, okay, you've clearly seen the cat knocked over my water. That's okay.
At least it's just water.
Yeah.
It'll dry.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically.
And now she's drinking it.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that? They have a perfectly fine water bowl right over there.
Yeah.
She prefers that. Maybe because you drink out of it.
Yeah, who knows? But anyway, so yeah. I wanted to reach those people. That's why I started making my YouTube channel or YouTube videos, and that's why I posted my testimony, was to reach those people who were asking questions. Well, what about crystals? What about the ascended masters?
Yeah.
What about Christ consciousness?
You know, Reiki healing and stuff like that.
Why does Jesus say, you know, ye are gods? What does he mean by that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I came up, there's a video, for example, I think, I don't know, 120,000 views right now on, I give like an expose on that false theory taught in the New Age movement about Jesus trying to push this doctrine of man to deity. When really what it is, I mean, there's multiple interpretations.
Sure.
All the people read the book to find out. We give our version and we give Michael Heiser's version.
He wrote the foreword.
Who wrote the foreword for the book. In his work, The Unseen Realm, he talks a lot about the fallen sons of God. You know, all the way to Genesis. Jesus is referencing Psalm 82 in particular. But the point is they were asking questions. I made the YouTube channel to answer the curious ones. So a lot of them were really curious and sincerely, like, you know, questioning, okay, how can you reconcile with this then? You know, you cannot deny. People would say, you can say whatever you want. You cannot deny that there's a unified field of consciousness. You cannot deny that. So how are you going to fit that into your worldview? I mean, I could. Theoretically, there is one. You know, we talk about that in the book. Even if there was one, that has no bearing on Christian monotheism at all.
No, all it would do, if there was a – well, and they even use the term unified without really understanding what that means. Sure. But let's say there is a field of consciousness. There very well could be. All that would mean is that you have particles in your brain that interact with a certain quantum field, and that's what produces consciousness. Has nothing to do with the soul. Has nothing to do with the spirit. It's just that is how you experience consciousness in physical life, if that's true. There's all sorts of physics explanations for that. But even that, though, the evidence for that is really lacking, because there have been different interpretations of it. Like maybe it has something, maybe it's like an electromagnetic field. Maybe it's something like that. Though people, when they're in MRIs, they don't lose consciousness. You know, their consciousness isn't affected. Seems like the only thing that really affects consciousness is maybe death. But our mass, you know, our mass is in interaction with the field. I'm not bothered at all by the fact that, or by the idea that maybe our consciousness is something similar. It wouldn't have any bearing on religious thinking at all. That would just be the physical consequence of how that works.
Even if we want to take it one step further and say, perhaps, I don't even know how you would really prove or establish this, but they would want to say that this, you know, when we interact with these quantum fields, these quantum fields carry the property of intelligence.
I mean, they don't, but they can say that.
They say they carry, you know, of pure consciousness or dynamism, as they'll call it.
If that were true, we would detect major differences in particles than we do now. I mean, there would be an intelligence behind them. I mean, if quantum field, this is what bothers me about why the New Age movement hijacks quantum physics,
because they don't take the time to really understand what all this stuff is about. Quantum fields is just a physical manifestation. It's only physical. It does not speak to religion. It's only how your physical particles that make up your body work in the world. Mm-hmm. If somebody's like saying that it's like pure consciousness, well, you should be able to see then conscious movement between particles, and you don't. And some people would say, oh, well, double slit experiment and everything. All right, well, why is it that when it's observed 100% of the time, it reacts a certain way, but when it's not observed 100% of the time, it's a different way? That doesn't speak consciousness to me. If it could change its mind, it wouldn't be 100%.
Exactly.
Right.
That predictability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So they wouldn't necessarily want to say self-consciousness.
Yeah.
They would want to, you know, kind of say something a little more abstract.
Right.
There's kind of an ocean of intelligence,
mm-hmm.
or an ocean of consciousness. It's not self-aware necessarily. It becomes self-aware as it percolates up through us, and now we're the self-awareness of the universe.
Right.
Is what they'd want to say. Like hypothetically speaking, even the way I think the proper way to understand it would be, even if there was a property of, you know, consciousness too, mm-hmm. if there was a unified field of
sure.
some kind, you know, all fields and forces, science tells us, began to exist.
Yeah.
13.4 billion years ago is typically when scientists will tell us that space-time reality
mm-hmm.
as a whole came into being in a single instant.
Yes.
Now, whether you want to be young Earth, old Earth, that's neither here nor there.
Right.
The point,
at some point,
some point, there was, at moment T, not anything existed.
Mm-hmm.
At moment T1.
Something existed.
Yes,
yeah,
something
yeah.
existed. And now whatever... However God decided to design that something,
mm-hmm.
whether he wants to build consciousness in as a fundamental property of the universe, like space and time in
mm-hmm.
some way, that does not eliminate the necessity of having a transcendent cause outside of space-time.
That's
reality.
Right.
Even if
That's
space-time
right.
reality is ultimately derived and sourced from a unified field with the property of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
you can't extrapolate it to past infinity with a force in the universe like that.
Because it's still within the confines of time.
It's still within the confines of space-time.
Yeah.
And so, okay, you're still, great. First of all, you're going to believe something virtually no scientist believe at all.
Right!
And even if you do, you still don't escape Christianity.
Yeah.
Okay, so you meditate, and then your consciousness kind of levels out a little more with what you believe to be the consciousness of the unifying field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great, you've shifted your brainwaves. What's your point?
Yeah, what do you achieve from that?
I shifted my brainwaves to align myself with a fundamental force in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead.
Right, yeah, how does that make any
therefore,
sense?
Therefore, Jesus is not the only path to the Father.
Yeah.
It doesn't even follow that, therefore, this field is God.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, my website, you know, reasonforjesus.com,
mm-hmm.
and on my YouTube channel, I decided, you know, shortly after I got saved, to start making these videos
yeah.
and articles exposing these false conclusions, these false interpretations of scripture of what Jesus really meant and said. And, you know, then we talked in the last episode about how you and I connected. And
yes.
You
yep.
came to Skywatch, and shortly after, you reached out to me to write a book
mm-hmm.
about the New Age movement. And now we just filmed at Skywatch,
yeah.
you know, recently about our new book, The Second Coming of the New Age. And so it's amazing. It's amazing to be able to write something like that with you when you have that ability to explain things as well
mm-hmm.
from your experience and from your research and so forth, because it is an apologetic book.
Right.
It's meant to be, it's not meant to just say, okay, here's some history.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try and squeeze the most we can out of history or out of some demonic activity going
right.
on New Age movement. Most of it is debunking and addressing false ideas.
Yeah.
The vast majority of it is. So people, like Christians, can have an explanatory model by which they can approach the claims that, you know, their family members are saying, well, hey, what about this?
Right.
I have a brother who's, you know, believes XYZ about, you know, Jesus or about God or about the afterlife, you know, how do I understand these things?
Right.
In light of God's revelation. And
mm-hmm.
that's what we do in the book. And so, yeah, it's been a crazy ride in the last, it's still less than 3 years that I've been saved.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to have, you know, Paul says, you know, he had this rich lineage
mm-hmm.
you know, as a Pharisee. He says, everything that I experienced and gained in the world prior to Christ. It's like, I now count that as dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I counted all this loss to gain Christ. And to be in the truth, I mean, that's the most important. There's nothing more important than the truth.
That's right.
And with Jesus Christ, we have the truth embodied,
mm-hmm.
the truth incarnate.
Yeah.
In John.
And 18. He's willing to give it to us freely.
Right. I think it says somewhere, it might say it in Hebrews somewhere, he became to us wisdom from God.
Yeah.
John 18, he says, I came to bear witness to the truth. Whoever's on the side of truth is on my side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's someone who knows the truth, demonstrates he knows the truth by mm-hmm. his working of miracles, and then God's stamp of approval on his ministry by raising him from the dead.
Yeah.
And
you don't get any better than that.
Right. And we can personally interact with him.
Yeah.
Have encounter with him.
Mm-hmm.
As the living God of scripture, it's amazing. So that's my testimony.
That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Well, we'll put the link in the description below to his testimony video when Steve first came out of New Age and went public with how he came to Christianity and that whole story.
Phenomenal. What a blast. This has been great.
Yeah,
thanks for coming back.
Yeah,
all right. And we will see you guys later. And until next time, take care and God bless.